Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Five-year-old Robert McLaughlin, also known by Royal Francis or Rob Francis, went missing from Jacksonville, Florida on September 25th, 2017. Robert was last seen in his apartment sometime around 10 p.m. He left behind his personal belongings, including his wallet, ID, and his car was also left in the parking spot at his building. Robert has a gold tooth and a chipped right tooth, and tattoos on both his arms, and is said to have had a full beard and was wearing a black shirt and shorts around the time of his disappearance. He's about 5'10", 210 pounds. A few years before his disappearance, Robert was in an accident that left him with a severe head injury that impacted his short and long-term memory. I was able to get a hold of Robert's former roommate, Bella. Bella is close friends with Robert. She lived with him in Florida at the time that he went missing. Since then, she has moved back to the Netherlands, but continues to search for what happened to her friend. In 2020, Bella started a podcast titled Find Rob Francis and detailed the information she knew leading up to his disappearance. Bella came on my show to talk about Robert, her podcast, and what may have happened to her musically gifted friend. I want to start this episode by playing one of Robert's raps titled Godspeed before starting my interview with Bella. Yeah, it's important, right? Let's start at the very beginning. I want to know, how did you meet Robert? And what was your first impression of him like? And what was his personality like?
I met Rob Francis at a musical. He was actually performing. And they asked me to give numbers to the performance and they could win some money. I think it was like $50 maybe. And so my first impression was actually seeing him on stage. And it was just awesome. It was a a lot of energy coming out of him, positive, very mannered and very nice in talking. And his music was just positive. So that was basically the first time when I met him. We actually hit it off like right away. We exchanged numbers and we said that we was going to go and go to a party or something a couple days later. And so he invited me out and I came. And that actually started a friendship up with us. So that's actually one of the first times when I met him. And after that, we just started to kick it together. We had so much fun and we always talked about music. He was very intelligent. He, like I said, very calm, collected, always think before he spoke. That's basically the things that really attracted me to him. And also he was very loyal, very, very in his friendship. And he didn't have a lot of people around him either. He had very select people around him. So that's really how I met him.
And I wanted to ask you this because it's not in the questions that I sent you ahead of time, but you did end up becoming roommates mm-hmm. with him, right?
Yes.
How long after you met him did you become roommates?
Let me see, about 3 years or so. We actually started to be roommates with one of our other friends, because we was like in a group all together. It was three guys and me, and so we have M, Phil, and Francis. And I moved out and I need to have a roommate. So initially actually M became my roommate, but because Francis and Phil, we had a big enough house and they actually became roommates with us. So we actually lived in a house all together for like a year. And then later on, almost to the end, right before he went missing, like 6 months before that, he came and become my roommate again. And that was the reason, because of relationships problems with his girlfriend, and he needed to have a place to stay. So he stayed with me.
And this is the last question I'll ask you off script, then we'll get back to what mm-hmm. I sent you. But I'm just curious because you're, you know, it's, I think you're from the Netherlands, right? And you were in the United States. I'm just curious what drew you to Florida in general?
Well, I actually did music too. And so I met my now ex-husband. I met my husband there, and he was living in Florida, so it's not a particular choice for me to be in Florida. But yeah, coming from the Netherlands, Florida is nice. It's warm always. So that was a good thing. Other than that, that's the only thing really that got me to come to Florida. And yeah, that's where I did music, and I met Francis there.
And Robert, as we kind of mentioned earlier, was a pretty famous local rapper, and it seemed like you were very intertwined with the local, you know, music scene as well. I'm wondering, can you tell me about that? Like, it seems like in some of your pictures on social media and stuff, there was a lot of hanging out at music venues and you know, a lot of music being made and a lot of good times being had.
Oh yeah, absolutely. after I met Robert, we actually started doing songs together. So we actually have a song together, and he actually wrote for me too. He was, prior to that, before I actually came to Jacksonville, he was already known by the locals. Music was basically his life. He made already three or four albums, but in Francis' fashion, let me say it like that, he was not into the whole social media and taking pictures or videos. So there's very little of him actually making music, unfortunately. And what we do have is all on record. Other than that, yeah, we absolutely did. Let me see, we was a part of the Matrix group in Jacksonville, Florida. And Michelle was a person that was managing us. And she did a lot of performancing for us where we can perform. So we was actually, at one point, probably 6 months long, we was just always, every weekend, we was doing a show somewhere in Florida, around Florida, or in Jacksonville. And we was just trying to get people, give people a different type of music. Still, and at this time, trap music was very, and the gangster music and stuff like that. That's not the type of hip hop that we did. We actually did more soul type of hip hop, or backpackers, like they say. So it wasn't coming from a standpoint of we gangsters, we doing drugs, we doing guns, we shooting you, all that stuff. We didn't do that. We just was about having a good time and enjoying people or stuff like that. So very positive music, actually. And Francis was very good in that.
That sounds incredible. Something happens, though, a few years before Rob goes missing, and there's an accident. I believe it was a car accident, right? Can you tell me what happened and how that changed Robert, and maybe the short term and maybe even the long term?
Yeah. It happened. Well, we was all together that weekend. It was very strange because we was all together that weekend. And on a Sunday, he called me up and I was at work, and he said, can you come pick me up? And I said, okay, I'm at work. Cannot leave right now. What's the emergency? Let me know where you at. But he just left me a voicemail. The next day I suddenly get a call from his mother saying that he's in the hospital, and they found him on the side of the road off of 95, by St. Mary, which is in Georgia, which is not that far from Jacksonville, but we didn't know how he got there, who dropped him off, anything. What happened is that there is a truck driver. Now, this is the story of the, we don't know. The truck driver said that he trying to commit suicide and stepped onto the road. The Francis itself told me the story a couple days after the accident, when I started asking him, because we didn't know what would happen. And he was hit on the left side, which he was walking straight. So the truck driver actually hit him from the back. He hit him on the grass. Probably what happened is that the truck driver actually fell asleep, and coincidentally, Francis walking there on the side to go to the next exit to ask for his phone was empty, to ask for the phone to call me up to ask him, pick him up. We have no idea what exactly happened, but it affected Francis so bad. He lost long-term memories and short-term memory after that. He kind of refused to let us know how bad it was. So at times when we was telling stories that we did before, like, oh, do you remember we went there and there? Then he would just say, yes, he remembered, but I could see that he didn't. Or he couldn't tell the memory anymore. So he lost a good part of his memory from that. And his short memory was also not very well anymore. We could see it sometimes on, like, hey, I just asked you to come there at such and such time, and then the next day he forgot about it. That type of stuff, basically. And that happened probably three years before he actually went missing. The fact is that about 9 months before he went missing, he chipped his tooth and he hit his head. After that, for all of us looking back at it, I could say, oh, wait a second, he probably hit his head again, and it was actually costing him to have short-term memory lost. But at that point, we didn't see it. That came later when we actually realized, like, oh, wait a second, he was acting kind of, I don't know how to say it. Like, he was just not always there anymore. Say it like that. And that was definitely an effect of the accident that he had.
So he was, did you ever find out, like, what did his car break down? He was walking to the gas station to call you for a lift. Like, what did you ever find out why he was walking on the side of the road?
Well, one of the other friends that in my podcast, I actually talk about him too, because he is my, I think he knows more. He's actually the one that brought him to an exit right before St. Mary. And he's supposed to go from there to somewhere else where somebody's supposed to have a studio or something with music. We did not know exactly what the whole reason was. We said he might have had a hunch, or the person didn't show up, and that's why he called me. And because I was at work, I couldn't come and get him. But the weirdest thing is that he didn't call anybody else. He just called me. And they still don't know. He never could explain. He didn't remember anything, because after he came in the hospital, we had to tell him, like, every day I came to the hospital and I have to tell him what day it was. And then he was like, oh, what did we do? And then I had to explain to him for almost 2 weeks long the week prior. And then he couldn't remember it. So he started to say, okay, yeah, we went and did this, and we went and got groceries, and we went and did this. And he just started memorizing parts of that week. But in reality, he never probably remembered what we did. So that whole week was just black to him. So he couldn't remember why he was there. Never found out either.
And he calls you before he gets hit, right? And then you can't pick him up, and then so he starts walking. Is that how the sequence of events played out, you think?
That's what we think. We think he called me up, and I couldn't leave. And he probably thought, let me go to the next gas station off the side of the road, because it's exactly between two exits in to go from a smaller gas station to go to the big gas station on the other side. So we really think that he actually walked over there, and that is just, yeah, that the truck driver just hit him. We've seen the tracks in the grass, and the fact that he was, thank God, only hit on the left side. But it messed him up really badly. Like, he couldn't play basketball anymore because his whole left side was with iron in it. It got pins in it everywhere. So yeah, it really affected his life after that.
He has this horrible accident, and then his memory is affected. His livelihood is affected, and his life is affected in a big way. And then you said about 9 months, but I think it was before he went missing, he hit his head again. And it triggered, like, it re-injured him. You were just telling me about that. Can you tell me about that again?
Yeah. So 9 months before he got missing, he hit his head. And that just whole, we actually didn't realize it, because about a year in, his mother came and asked me about it. And that's when we kind of start putting the pieces back together. And I said, oh, wait a second. And she said, well, the injury that he had all those years before triggered again when he fell. And that is something that, yeah, we just didn't realize it, but there's doctor forms and medical forms actually about it, that his injury was way worse than he would let us know. So even after the accident, he was pretty fast back feet, lie to make sure that it looked like he would go. But he music, he forgot his lyrics, stuff like that. And he was just practicing his old songs just to get it back. So, you know, it definitely hit him, and it definitely had effect on right before he left.
And so the day he goes missing, what happens? Can you tell me about what you know, what you and the family have been able to uncover about what did he do on the day he disappeared, and where was he last seen?
He was living with me, and the day he went missing, the night that he went, rephrase that. Okay, so Francis was living with me at the time. And I was living, I was working overnight. So at around 11 o'clock, I would leave the house. And that night, as always, hey, see you later. Close the door behind me. I even called back up when I was in the car. Called up like, hey, can you please close the door behind me? See you later. I went to work. Didn't hear anything. I came back from work and the door was closed because I had to unlock it. But I see his car standing next to my car where he always parks it. And I actually went to bed because the room where he was staying in was closed. So I assumed that he was asleep. So I went to sleep and then his mother called me up and said, hey, I had an appointment. He's not here. I said, well, call him on his cell phone. You know, he's here. Or I actually got up first and I looked in the room and I said, oh, he's not here anymore. I said, so he's probably to the appointment. He's probably running late. His mother was very, very persistent and had the feeling already that something wasn't right. So she made me go outside to look, and his car was still there. So I was like, oh, his car is still there. Because it was a car appointment that he had with his mom's car, because he was driving his mom's car. And so that was kind of the first indication of like, huh, it's kind of weird. And then I looked and I saw the car key still laying there. And the only thing that was missing was his backpack that I couldn't find, which he always have with him. And I was like, okay, he got his backpack. So maybe he got a ride from somebody or maybe he wasn't here this morning. I don't know. About 2 hours later, she actually called the detective. She actually filed a missing person at that moment because she was so in panic. And so the cops came and I said, well, his car's downstairs. So they asked me to come with him, with the cops downstairs, the officers, and they open up the door. And the first thing they see is actually his wallet, which is really weird because Francis, two things that he always has with him, his wallet and the backpack. There's always something to write in there, probably a couple of CDs. It's just, he walks with that always. So that was the first thing that I was like, this is weird. So they took me and they said like, oh, is this his wallet? And then show me his ID and everything. And I said, yeah, that's it. And then this feeling came over me and I said, can you please open up the trunk? Because I need to see what's in the trunk. And so they opened up the trunk and they picked up his backpack. And that's when I almost fainted. I got completely white. I lost it just really hit me then. I said, okay, something is wrong. That was the first thing I said to the officers. I said, something is wrong. I said, these are the two things that he never leaves. And his phone is off. The only thing he took was his key, my key, and the phone. So yeah, that was absolutely, yeah, something was just off. And that's when we start calling our friends and nobody had an answer. He's just disappeared in thin air with nothing.
What was the day and what was the date that he went missing?
He went missing the 25th of September of 2017. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I just wanted it in there for the listeners. It'll be in the title in the beginning as well. Yeah, that's very, very bizarre. What were everyone's initial impressions? Like, to me, when you tell me about, you know, the struggles he was having from these reoccurring head injury, like, that's pretty serious. Like, did he maybe become confused and just wander off? Like, was that maybe an early theory? Or, like, what were the police or you and his mom thinking happened to him?
That's actually quite interesting because everybody had their own little thought process in that. Initially I thought that he was with some girl, and he just stayed the night, or he just wanted to leave for a little bit and come back. That's, He spoke about that before, that he wants to go somewhere else. So, and that's the confusing part at that moment too, because we always say, if you want to leave, no, leave. I won't tell nobody, but let your mom know. But one.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Person know, at least your mom or me, that you're gone, you know, specifically your mom actually, and I've always told him that, because he asked me about that. Can I trust you? He asked his girlfriend about that, and we all just say collectively, listen, there's only one person who needs to know where you're at, and that's your mom, because I could not do that to your mom. And he agreed with that before already. So the thought that he was actually was very, because he spoke about it before. So that was definitely a theory. Only he didn't let his mom know. He didn't let me know. And then the other friend that I do think that knows something more, maybe he let him know. But that became different over time. But at the first time, yeah, that's definitely my thought process was like, okay, he's going to come back in a couple of weeks, a couple of days, okay. And then the panic starts hitting in. I go, wait, this is not going to go good. Okay. You start calling hospitals, jails. You start looking, you start picking up every phone call. The detective actually was really good. They start looking for the key around the apartment building. They actually took it very, very high, because he didn't bring anything. If you want to disappear, then at least you take your ID with you and your wallet that you normally always take with you. Then I could definitely go with that theory. But at that point, I think 2 weeks in or something, I was like, no, this is not right. This is not right. It just didn't feel right.
And then you, at some point, you start your own podcast titled Find Rob Francis. I'm wondering, like, did you do that to try and find some more answers about what happened to Robert? And, you know, what did you discover doing the podcast? And maybe one thing you can touch on, too, is this maybe friend that you think maybe knows more. I listened to that in your podcast, and I thought that was really intriguing, that there might be someone out there who has more information than they're letting on.
Yeah. I started the podcast when I was already, I moved from Jacksonville, Florida, immigrated back to the Netherlands, where I'm from. And I was dealing at that point for 3 years with a depression coming, with a trauma and depression coming from the fact that Francis just disappeared out of my life. That was a huge, huge thing. Then my therapist at the time said, well, you can make drawings or something that you like to do creatively. And I said, well, you know what? I need to bring this story out to the world, because somebody knows something. And so I started the podcast as therapy for myself, which later on actually helped other people, family members that I heard actually listen to it, his own friends that I'm still very close to, except for that one person. Because there's something that Francis always said to me. And he said it to his mom, too. He said, there's only two people on this earth who will always know where I'm at. That's Bella, that's me, or TJ. And TJ is the one who did not help flyering. He did not have any contact with me after Francis left, except for 3 weeks after, when he actually said to me, Rob wants you to move on. That's something that Rob always said. And that made me think that he thought that Rob is dead, which I thought was very weird because I was completely in a different mode of finding him and not being okay with even the thought that he was dead. And that's something that always bucked me up till this day, that he was so easy writing his best friend off. And that's something that, yeah, I wanted to have people think at least about it. I got out of the podcast a lot of BS stories that I've heard over about the podcast out. And I didn't know a lot of people in Jacksonville actually listened to it. And they started hitting me up with these crazy stories that I've never heard of. And, or they would tell me stories about Rob that was just not true. It just didn't happen. I was like, where was you? Where was I? And so I've never got the answers that I wanted, but it definitely helped everybody around me and myself to do this podcast.
What's the thing for me, and this, it's baffling because based on listening to your podcast and talking to you now, like, it doesn't seem very clear what may have happened to Robert. I'm curious, like, did you get a better understanding? Like, do you think maybe you think this friend that's withholding information thinks that Robert is passed? Like, what do you think happened to him ultimately? Do you have a theory that sticks out to you at this point, or are you still kind of going back and forth and wavering through, you know, a few different theories?
No. Something that I didn't discuss in the podcast because I think that a lot of people who actually have missing family members and friends happen to a lot is that there's mediums that come into place and they're trying to tell you what happened to the person. I had that actually too. Only I had it from a very weird angle. And the first one was a very weird angle. And that is that somebody who I actually know, who is a rapper in Jacksonville itself. And she contacted me and she said, listen, something crazy to me happened today. She couldn't fathom it herself. She couldn't even get it out herself. She said, listen, I was scrolling on Facebook and I saw a post with Francis, a picture of Francis in it. And I heard a voice that says, do you remember me? And I was like, okay, this is going really weird. And I was like, okay, just tell me what happened. And she was like, well, she said, the voice continued talking and gave her a street name somewhere in Jacksonville, and said it was a setup. I was murdered. I'm there. And the other thing that she only heard was my name. And she did not know that me and Francis were that close. So she said, well, I guess I have to tell you that. I was like, okay, what do I do with this information? She said, I don't know, but this is it. I actually got in my car, drove out there, see this nice little piece of land and some bushes and nothing really special. So I left it there. I said, well, it is what it is. If it's true or not, it will come out one day. Then about a half year later, 6 months later, I'm on the internet with my on a Facebook group with my friend who invited me in the Netherlands, and there is this medium, and she suddenly says in the group chat, "Who is here from America, or why do I get America?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm in America, I live there," and she said, "Okay," she said, "Are you looking for somebody?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she said, "Well, we need to have a personal chat because, you know," I said, "Well, I want to know how he's doing." And she came after me, and this is in Dutch. She's never been to America. She doesn't know where I live. She doesn't know Jacksonville. She's never. And she says, "Well, I told her, I said, I think he's dead," because I wanted to see what she was saying. And she said, "Well," she said, "I don't know what to do with this, but I get this name." And I kid you not, it's the same street name that the first person told me. So now I'm listening and I'm like, "Huh, interesting," because this is somebody who doesn't know. And she starts describing the place where I was at with my car on that street to details. I'm like, "Wow, that's kind of amazing." And then she started telling me that it's a setup, that somebody came and picked him up. And she started describing a corner store around my apartment. And I'm like, "Wow, this is this cannot be going crazier." So at that point, you kind of looking for something and you get answers that's not really the right or not really something you can do with anything you can do anything with, because people will be like, "Oh, really? You believe that? You believe two strangers that just going to tell you that?" So that's actually the only clearest moments I had in this whole with my podcast and looking for Francis that I got back. And those are the two people that actually say the same thing. If, I don't know, when somebody's missing, you always have that 0.1% of hope that the person, right now it's more like if I can find him dead or alive, you know, I just want to end that chapter. That the hope is almost not there anymore, but it's always there. That little bit of hope that you have. Because I think a lot of people who have missing person cases are seeking for answers. And when something like a medium comes at you and tells you certain things, I mean, this lady could tell me anything. Like, she told me what I was wearing that day. And we was on the phone. She told me like stuff like that, you know, and I was like, "Wow, how do you know that?" Or that I actually had one of my friends, we actually went with a shovel back to the place and actually started digging at one point just to find. We didn't even know what we was looking for, but, and I still have it with that spot. I still think that he is murdered and buried there. Absolutely.
Did you ever tell the police? Did they do a search of the area or anything like that?
Yes. After I had spoken with this lady numerous times and she just gave me so much exact points, I contacted my or the detective. She said she had to ask her supervisor. Her supervisor didn't agree with it, thought it was, of course, nonsense. She took an hour off her job, off time. She came and picked me up. And that's why I love this detective. She came and picked me up and actually went with me to the spot. God, that it was a goose hunt, but we just had to do it just to make sure for ourselves. And, but not allowed to bring dogs in, because she even said it too. She wished there was dogs that she, you And actually, she believed it. She believed me. But they don't have no cadaver dogs in Jacksonville, only in Tampa. And that's what they told me. So, but at least they believed me. And she said she will always look out for that spot. If something comes up, she will definitely have a chance. She will go and go there.
Did Robert have enemies, or like, was he involved in any, like, did you ever see him be involved in really, like, you know, maybe illegal or shady activity? Like, would there be a reason for people to harm him? I'm wondering, like, you know, I'm just curious if you noticed that at all when you were roommates with him and friends with him, like, you know, did he have people who would want to hurt him?
No, that was the good thing about Francis to me. He had a very small circle around him, and he was very protective about it. And if we would do something stupid, he would say something about it. Like, I never seen him. There was no guns allowed. One in my house was no guns allowed. Everybody knew that. And none of them actually had guns or anything like that, because you fight with your hands and you don't fight at all. Really, that was the rule. Just have fun and no drama. No drugs. I don't even remember. When I look back, actually, I don't ever remember Francis literally smoking weed even. You know, I know he did it, but not anymore. The last probably 4 or 5 years he stopped doing that, after the accident definitely. We wasn't hanging around shady people or anything like that. Honestly, what I think happened to Francis is that his good heart actually got the best of him. I think he was set up. I do believe that story, because I think he wanted to make money, because he didn't work in like 2 weeks. He didn't have a job for 2 weeks. And I don't think his head, with his injury and everything, he just couldn't work. And friends would always make sure that there was something in the house, or he would pay a bill or something, just to appreciate that he was able to live with me. And I think that he wanted to make a couple of quick bucks, and somebody says, like, oh, you know what, you can come here and do this for me. And I hope that it is that he didn't want to do it, because maybe they wanted to rob somebody or something stupid, and he was like, oh no, I'm not going to be a part of this. And I think out of that comes the argument, because he will stand up for that. And I think that it might have been an accident that they killed him. I don't know, but I do think that something like that happened. That's my own theory.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it makes a lot of sense that, based on what you've told me about his character, that he wouldn't want to do something else to harm anyone or be a part of something, you know, that was maybe illegal or violent. And so he would stand up and say no. I really hope, like, do you ever keep in touch with the family or the mom and get any updates? Like, I think I saw an article not from last year that his mother kind of was saying that, you know, the police have kind of stopped looking. Like, do you still get any updates from family or the police? Have there been any updates in the last couple of years?
No, there's not been any updates on Francis. I do know that the officer the detective that actually went with me, that was about a year and a half later. And she actually said that she didn't close his case at the moment when she had to, because she couldn't, because this was the weirdest disappearing and that she ever had. So I know that Francis is, all his tattoos, his injuries, his teeth, because he went to the dentist to get like a grill, And so all the teeth information is all put into a system. So if they do find a body, then they would definitely, there would be information on that. But as far as I know, this was the most weirdest disappearing ever because he just left everything. So, yeah. And no criminal background on him at all. He's never even been arrested.
And I guess all I want to end with this is this has obviously had a very huge impact on you. I'm wondering, like, to this day, like, how are you doing, like, with everything? Is it still really tough every day to not know what happened to your friend?
Yeah, it is absolutely very tough. We now trying to just keep it positive with him. So it's in the beginning, I couldn't even say his name. And I know if you listen to the podcast, you actually hear my emotions. But nowadays, yeah, it's going a lot better. We celebrate his life. I actually got a tattoo that says, live life like every day is Saturday. That's one of his quotes, and that kept me moving the last couple of years. Absolutely.
I want to thank you for doing this. I know it was probably not easy, but I think it's important. I hope people, and I will put this in the intro and the outro as well, like, check out the Facebook page and the podcast. You know, you did an amazing job, I think, covering a lot of the facets of his disappearance and being so close to him. I think you were absolutely like the best person to do it. Do you want to end? Is there anything else you wanted to say about Robert before we wrap up?
No, I hope that we, like I said, I'll be bringing back, at least home and give peace and rest to his mother. Cause that's one of the things that really hurt me. His mother doesn't know. Like that's just one of the things. Like, I really hope that if he is alive, that he is happy and everything. And if he passed away, I hope that we find his body and bring it home for his mom to at least bury him and close the book.
If you know anything about Robert's disappearance, please contact the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office at 904-630-2627. To learn more about Robert and his disappearance, check out the Find Rob Francis podcast where you get your podcasts. You can also check out the Find Rob Francis Facebook group. If you enjoyed this episode and want to show your appreciation, you can buy me a coffee at the link in the description. If you want to support the podcast on a monthly basis, you can head to my Patreon. There's a link in the description. For $5 a month, you get ad and sponsor-free episodes, exclusive content, teaser content, and early access to all new episodes of the podcast. I'll also post monthly updates on what's to come, so you know what I have the works and what to expect. I'll close this episode with Robert's song, Keep Keepin' On. Thanks for listening to the Missing and Unexplained podcast.
Producer, he's unstoppable.
You must remain focused. Put up the good fight, don't forfeit. They gotta keeping on, keep keeping on it. Keep keeping on, keep keeping on it. Today is like tomorrow, homie. Every minute's like a new morning. They gotta keeping on, keep keeping on it. Keep keeping on, keep keeping on it. To no surprise, I looked in the eyes of the mass, multiplied my grind and announced it. Though they failed to count and account me, they was doubtful. But the fountain of youth, I found it. Like Ponce de Leon, Florida's first founder, I stay claim and let my flag fly on the mountains. Yeah, gotta keep keeping on it. Even if the devil show opponent, gone, bitch. They thought I was a goner. I think they thought it was over, but I came out the coma. Came off of the toilet, summed up the total, met my
just trying to get my shit together. They gotta fill them, brethren. I'm just living out.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.